Our second scripture reading comes from the first letter of John. So there's the Gospel of John, and then we move over to the first letter of John later in the New Testament. There's three letters. So the first one, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And I invite you again to hear the Word of God. John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I have told you before how this is my favorite Sunday of the year to preach, Sunday after Easter. I think it's one of the most important Sundays of the year because last week we celebrated the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, and this week it's like, okay, what are we going to do with that? What's next? How are we going to respond to the resurrection of Christ? What difference will it make in our lives? How are things going to change as a result of what happened last week? Christ is risen, so what now? And what we find with the disciples this week is that their response to the resurrection of Jesus is fear. Mary Magdalene encounters the risen Christ, and she goes back and tells everyone else, "I've seen the Lord." But instead of going out and looking for him on their own, we find them locked in a room, hiding, it says, for fear of the Jews. In John's Gospel, Jesus' arrest and crucifixion were driven by the Jewish religious leaders, more so than the Roman political leaders. And John tells us how, when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied knowing him three times. People kept asking him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And Peter said, no, he denied it because he didn't want to be arrested and potentially killed too. So there's this fear that the Jewish religious leaders are going to round up all the rest of them because of their association with Jesus. Their response to that fear is to hide away and lock the door. And that's the way that a lot of us respond to fear, isn't it? To shut ourselves off from the thing that we're afraid of. Not deal with it, not acknowledge it, hide from it, lock ourselves away in a safe, controlled environment. A couple of months ago, the elders and I started working through a book together in our session meeting called Congregational Leadership in Anxious Times. And the first thing that we did was to make a list of all the things that cause us to be anxious. So I asked them, in your life, in the lives of the people right around you, what are some things that cause you to be anxious? And people talked about the economy and financial concerns, health concerns, aging parents, environmental concerns, our children, our families, watching the news where on a daily basis we hear about shootings and terrorism and the possibility of war. We filled up an entire sheet of paper on a flipboard with all these things that cause us to be anxious. And so I said, all right, these are the things that people are dealing with before they even come here to a place where they're trying to get some relief from that anxiety. So then I flipped the page and said, what are some things that as a church, as a body, cause us to experience anxiety? And we filled up a whole other sheet of paper on this flip chart with things like budget concerns, and do we have enough money? Finding people to fill leadership and volunteer positions, security concerns, because this was on the heels of the church shooting down in Texas, and all these other things that as a church cause us to experience anxiety. So we're dealing with all those things in our personal lives, but then we come here to kind of try to get away from all of that, get some relief from it. We experience all this other anxiety in our life together. So we sat there in the meeting looking at these two lists. All these things that make us anxious and afraid. And I asked, well, you know, okay, does anyone have anything else to add? And they're all kind of sitting there just like, and someone says, these lists. These lists are making me anxious. Right? So just talking about and naming the things that make us anxious made us anxious. There are so many things in this world that cause us to be afraid, that make us just want to shut it all out and lock the doors and hide away in the safe spaces that we have created for ourselves. But look what happens in John's Gospel on that first Easter. So a week ago, the first Easter Sunday, the disciples are hiding away behind locked doors out of fear when Jesus suddenly appears among them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them the wounds of crucifixion in his hands and in his side, almost as if to say, this is the worst that can happen to you, and I'm still here. He stands in the midst of their locked room, in the midst of their fear, and he sends them out of it. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You cannot stay here hiding away in fear. You have to open the door and open yourselves and go out to bring healing to the world. In the midst of our anxiety and fear and all the ways we try to insulate ourselves from it, the risen Christ comes, bringing peace and sending us out to bring healing to the world. And the way he does all of that is through love. John tells us that Thomas wasn't there on that first Easter when Jesus appeared to the disciples in that locked room. The other disciples told him about it, but Thomas simply could not believe that it was true. I mean, would you? If you missed worship one Sunday and we all came over to your house afterwards and said, Jesus appeared in church this morning. He was there and he was alive. You might have a little trouble simply taking our word for it, right? Thomas has been criticized for this for the past 2,000 years, saddled with this nickname, Doubting Thomas. But Thomas isn't being unreasonable here when he says, look, unless I see the holes in his hands and his side, unless I see the same thing that you all saw, how can I believe that? So then a week later, on this day in history, the disciples are gathered together again, and this time Thomas is with them. Jesus appears among them again and says to Thomas, what's wrong with you? Why weren't you here last week? It's Easter. You couldn't show up on Easter. Why didn't you believe them when they told you, you of little faith, you have no share in me because you did not believe? No, he didn't say that. he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and touch my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus gives Thomas the very thing that he asked for, the very thing he had given to everyone else the week before. Christ comes to Thomas in the midst of his doubts and his fears, not in judgment or condemnation, but in love, bringing peace. And in the same way, Jesus comes to us in our doubts and fears, not in judgment or condemnation, but in love, bringing peace. Because as we hear in these verses from the first letter of John, love casts out fear. John says that fear has to do with punishment. It's the Greek word kolasis, which means to correct or chastise or impose a penalty. And it comes from a Greek word that means to prune away, like you prune a tree to help it grow. So it's this idea that I am going to be corrected or chastised or penalized, or someone else needs to be, and this is going to be a painful process. Judgment and condemnation and pain leads us to fear. But love, as Paul says, is patient and kind and hopeful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It doesn't take this thing you've done wrong and throw it back in your face. Love rejoices in the truth. That is how Jesus is with Thomas. Patient and kind. Not punishing, chastising, penalizing. That is how Christ is with us. And that is how Christ calls us to be with one another. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And how did God send Jesus? John says God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And if God has loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Jesus says to the disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus came, John says, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to forgive our sin. And so we should love and forgive others in the same way. Not punishing or chastising or holding the sins or mistakes of others against them, or shutting ourselves off from them, just refusing to talk with them or deal with it in the first place, but going to them, bearing with them in patience and kindness and hope. Because John says when we do that, when we love one another the way that Christ loves us, God lives in us because God is love. Even though none of us has ever seen God, we're in the same position that Thomas was that first Easter Sunday. None of us has ever seen God. When we love one another the way that Christ loves us, it's like we see God in that other person and they see God in us. The disciples were filled with fear. And Jesus came to them, giving them proof of his living presence. Thomas was filled with doubts and fear, and Jesus came to him, giving him proof of his living presence. We live in a world that is filled with doubts and fear, and Jesus sends us to that world to give them proof of his living presence through our acts of love that cast out fear. To live in ways that show patience and kindness and forgiveness and truth and hope. Because shutting out the world and hiding from the things that make us afraid, that does not cast out fear. It doesn't make us less afraid. Judgment doesn't cast out fear. Retaliation and revenge and punishment do not cast out fear. Security does not cast out fear. Control does not cast out fear. Money does not cast out fear.
love casts out fear. Because when we show patience and kindness, when we forgive and let go of sin or mistakes or pain and hold on to truth and hope, when we do that, this person or this situation loses their power to make us afraid. This past week marked the 50th anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr. And in that last speech that he gave before he was killed, he says this. He says, "I got to Memphis and some people began to talk about the threats, what would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land, and so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." The choice that he made to live in love cast out his fear. It took away the power that anyone else had to make him afraid and gave him peace. I came across another quote this week where he said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. So what now that Christ is risen? What difference does it make in our lives? How will we respond to the resurrection? By living in ways that show patience and kindness and forgiveness and truth and hope. Love is the only proof we can offer to the world that Christ is risen, because he lives in us. When we choose to love in the midst of our doubts and our fears, Christ enters in through our closed doors and our closed hearts and our closed minds, bearing his peace and calling us out to bless the world in his name. So let us now stand and claim John's words as our own as we use them to affirm what it is we believe in Christ. Love is from God.